It's time now to look through the window of baseball with Bruce Jenkins, brought to you by Marvin Windows and Doors and Truett & White, the professional builder's choice, new showroom down in Monterey. Bruce, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Marty. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I'm kind of pumped about today. You know, I love Sunday baseball. It's one of those days I love going to the games on Sunday. As a kid, I'd go to Miami Stadium and see the Marlins play on Sunday in the doubleheader. And there's something about Hudson and Kershaw today that has the makings of one of those games that you're going to remember for a while.
Yeah, it's a classic matchup. I mean, it just takes you back. You know, how far back you want to go with this rivalry?
Really?
This is Dazzy Vance and Don Newcomb and Johnny Antonelli. Or right. Forget Koufax Marichal. How about Drysdale and Gaylord Perry? You know, I mean, it's just and here we are again. And, you know, the rivalry's never been better. And I totally agree with you on Sunday baseball. That when I was a kid, that's just invariably that was the time we went out to first the L.A. Coliseum down there and then Dodger Stadium. And, you know, in those days, you might get a doubleheader in the deal.
You know, we have, of course, Giant Dodgers. And, you know, we talk about it a lot. You and I have talked about it. But this ball club lost their first baseman, Brandon Belt. Now, he's got 9 homers, 18 RBIs. And yesterday I did a show. I was on for like 7 hours. And I think 2 people called in to say Brandon Belt. And it just hit me last night. I said, you know, he's out for 6 weeks. Morse is going to first base. Now they have a platoon probably in left field. Who knows how they'll do? They may hit 30 homers in left field. But shouldn't people be a little bit upset about Belt being out?
Well, yeah, I think they should. It's not like losing Pagan, you know, where you lose an element that you can't replace. But I think the indifference stems from the fact that I don't think Belt has really won people over as, you know, just an unquestioned, you know, first baseman type of hitter. You know, the guy who is reliable, hits maybe he hits 305 for you, and he hits about 25 to 30 homers and is consistent. I mean, just before he went down, he had a spell where he looked kind of helpless up there, and this has been his whole story. I agree. It's a big loss. It's a loss defensively at first base. The guy does have a bunch of home runs. He's among the leaders, and they're going to be filling in for him God knows how many ways over the next few weeks. But I think he has yet to convince the fans that he's just an absolute mainstay.
Yesterday's game was interesting. Matt Cain pitching yesterday, Greinke. These two teams match up pretty well. You know, if even statistically you look at it, but you watch the way the game unfolds, you better pitch on both sides and have a good game. The bullpen of the Giants gave in yesterday. Greinke gave him that 7th inning and then turned it over to Perez. Wilson, boy, how about Wilson yesterday?
Yeah, well, he gave up a hit to Sandoval. That's not a great thing right now.
Well, he put it on a tee form.
Yeah, he did. The pitch he struck out Coleman with was a much more Brian Wilson-looking pitch. But, yeah, I mean, if he needs to show up right now in vintage form, because they are a little bit hurting in the bullpen. But, yeah, I think, you know, there's such disparities in, you know, categorically. The bullpens, the Giants have it all their way. The defense, the Giants have it all their way. But in terms of the lineup, you know, and just the potency, you know, that goes for the Dodgers. And they can match up aces. So it's a classic rivalry once again.
Yeah. You make a mistake to this lineup. It's the reverse kind of. Oh, the Giant lineup's hitting home runs, but it's the reverse of what it used to be. You know, Dodger lineup would be the one that could run and all that stuff, and the Giants would hit all the home runs. It's kind of the reverse. But I said it yesterday, D. Gordon will kill you. This is Maury Wills. This is Willie Davis. This is, you know, Davey Lopes. And then you get Puig hitting behind him. And you better come and pitch, and you better get the right people out.
Yeah, that you bring up Wills. That's a really good example. You know, I was right there watching him in 62, stealing 104 bases. He was way ahead of the field, just like Gordon is now. I don't think Gordon's going to steal 100 or even 80, but who knows? I mean, he gives you that kind of threat. He's the kind of guy, he gets on, it's almost like he's already on second, and everybody knows it. It rattles the pitcher a little bit. And it just changes the whole dynamic of the inning.
Boy, Bill Madden, a good friend of yours, Hall of Fame baseball writer, of course, won the J.G. Taylor Spink Award a couple of years ago, has a new book out. Bruce, have you seen it, 1954?
Oh, I just got it in the mail, actually. I can't wait to read it. Bill Madden Yeah, I go back and off all the way back to the late 70s with Bill covering World Series together. I got to know him. He's a big Frank Sinatra fan. That was our main connection because my dad did a lot of work with Sinatra. But great guy, really, really knowledgeable. You know, be a great interview for you because both of you guys are so in tune with the whole history of the game. And that's a great topic. You see 1954 and you can think, well, that's a little too far back. But he's talking about a very specific topic about the black players that came into the picture, you know, in that era and what that meant, and a really interesting topic.
Yeah, he's going to be on following you about 10:30.
Oh, very good.
Yeah,
very
he's
good.
At the Met game, and he's going to give us some time. But I looked through the book, and I read the first part of it. Larry Doby was a big part of what happened. Of course, Larry Doby in 1954 led the Indians into the World Series, and Willie Mays on the other side for the Giants. But it was Ernie Banks and players who came up in that area, Brown versus the Board of Education, 7 years after Jackie Robinson, and then really the dominance of the African-American player happened starting in around 1954. So he does it, and he works around the World Series. But I want to tell you, when you open that book, take a look at the pictures. And I don't know, he may have access to pictures at the Hall of Fame or New York Daily News, but I'm telling you, Bruce, they're some of the best pictures I've seen in baseball in that book.
Yeah, well, Bill is very closely connected with the Hall of Fame. And I would imagine, you know, he's always got a choice room in that great hotel on the lake. I was always very envious of that. I'm sure that's one of his prime sources because, you know, the well of incredible items of, you know, news clippings and photos and everything at the Hall of Fame is stunning to behold.
Yeah, so it's Bill Madden. The book is 1954, and he'll be with us, as I say, after the 10:30 break. I saw an article today about Jose Bautista. Now, of course, when I say Jose Bautista to you, what comes to mind?
A Deadpool rocket down the line for yet another homer.
Yeah. All right. He's reached base 36 straight times, right? And, you know, this is in 36 straight games. So who holds the record? Ted Williams reached base 84 times in games. 84, I can't say it correctly. 84 games in a row in 1949.
Oh, my goodness.
And he started the year with 38 games reaching base.
And this is a guy who didn't run that well.
No, this is Ted Williams. In 1949, he was on base in a 155-game season. He was on base 149 times.
That's just ridiculous.
So Bautista has been 36 straight games. And it's funny because when I thought about it, I thought, as you did, this is a pull hitter. But this is he is a very, very good baseball player. He turned into a good baseball player.
Yeah, and he's not strictly a pull hitter. It's just the first image I get. You know, when he really gets a hold of one, you know, going to left field, it's an incredible thing to watch. But he can hit the other way. He's got a little patience. I mean, he's really developed. And I think playing in Toronto maybe hurts him a little bit. That always is viewed as a little bit of an outpost. You know, obviously they won a couple of world titles. So it doesn't get any more glaring than that. But you know, on the real side, to be a star in Toronto, you're kind of climbing uphill a little bit.
Yeah, he's better than we expect, than we know, because he just doesn't get that exposure here.
Yeah.
But I saw this today in one of the columns. I said, wow, 36 straight games of getting on base. And, you know, you're going through records and all this stuff. And then I saw Williams' number. I said, all right, well, he's got a ways to go. You know. Hey, another column I saw today, which grabbed me a little bit. And it was a list of the most exciting at-bats that can happen in a game, okay? So number one, they list the inside-the-park home run.
Mm-hmm.
Then they go to a regular home run. It's a short list, I'll read it to you. Regular home run, then a triple,
mm-hmm.
then a strikeout, then a double, then a player getting hit by a pitch, a regular single, an error, just a fly ball, a ground out, which could include a double play, a walk, a sacrifice bunt, catcher's interference, and the least interesting play that could happen, a foul out.
Yeah, for me, it's the ground rule double. It's really depressing, especially with the game on the line. It's what I love about the Giants' park. It's very, very rare you get one there. It's a real detriment at Dodger Stadium and Yankee Stadium where it's so easy the ball bounces in there. But does he list strike three except the ball got away and you're on first and that changes everything?
Great point. That was brought up by one of the people who commented on the article, and he put it in the error column.
Because, I mean, you think about that. The pitcher did his job. Maybe it's the third out. We're out of the inning, except, oh, my God, it's not, and now he's on first base. And historically, there's been some pretty significant examples of that. I'd throw that in there.
Yeah, I would put that ahead of being hit by a pitch.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Bit by a pitch is like sixth on the list.
Oh, that should be number 90.
Right.
That does nothing for me. That's not exciting in any way. You cringe a little bit. But.
That's a good look. I liked it. The inside the park home run for me. Yeah. Right?
No doubt. Assuming that it's legit and you know, it wasn't a generous call because it was basically botched in the outfield. But when you got a fast runner and all of a sudden that ball takes off away from the outfielder and all of a sudden he's in a desperate chase to run it down, that's as good as it gets.
You know, the other thing, I brought this up with FP yesterday, and he didn't give it much credence, but the bases. You know, the rule says that you're supposed to have a base that, you know, can have a rubber covering on the outside, but it's got to be soft in the middle. These bases are like cement.
Hey, I'll tell you, I had an experience one time. We used to play hardball games at Candlestick once a year against the Giants front office, the media team, and I remember one time trying to just stretch out a little bit, and I landed on that bag, and I really screwed up my ankle just in the simple act of hitting the bag. And it made me appreciate, you know, what big leaguers go through. It seems like nothing, but, you know, you're taking a step a few inches above the ground, and if that thing doesn't give, you can easily hurt yourself, and I agree with that entirely.
Well, and that's why you see all these thumb injuries, and I said it to FP, and he says, no, you know, he really didn't give it much credence, which I understand. He has an opinion on it. But, you know, bases, again, used to be bags.
Yeah.
You know, they call them bags, and they were. They were tied down by a belt, and, you know, they wouldn't move. You know, they'd move a little bit. But this thing is anchored in the ground, and it's a hard piece of rubber. There's no give on this thing. So I think baseball, and the rule book says it's supposed to be soft inside. This is going to change. This is Bud Selig's legacy. I see it coming.
Could help on his farewell tour.
Yeah. That'll be the first question I'm going to ask him. All right, what's up with you today?
Well, it's Mother's Day.
All right. Happy Mother's Day to your wife.
Yeah. My wife's up in Sacramento. Our daughter's playing volleyball up there, but they'll be back for a little celebration tonight. I'll save the Giants on tape. That's our whole family's idea of a great evening, watching the Giants, so what could be better?
Sounds like you may be outside today.
Amazingly, I'm venturing out there. I'm going to shock the neighbors.
All right. Have a good Sunday. Always a pleasure, and I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Marty.
All right. That is the wonderful Bruce Jenkins on a Sunday morning.